Tom Hartmann here with you. Back in the 1960s, back in 1967, I took transcendental meditation, you know, the Beatles and all that, TM the Maharishi. I was given a mantra, I learned how to meditate. In 68, I got into Self-Realization Fellowship, took Kriya initiation. In the late 60s, early 70s, for a couple of years, I was teaching meditation in downtown Detroit. We set up a meditation center in Atlanta when we moved to Atlanta. Over the years, I've been meditating for years and years and years. And in the 90s, when I started writing books on psychiatry, a number of friends, I started showing up and speaking at these brain conferences, and Rob Call's annual brain conference in particular, and got to know Barry Sternman, the guy who'd done the early work on EEG, where they were using cats, and which experiments that would be illegal now, where they were training cats with EEG neurofeedback, brainwave feedback, and hardening their brains, essentially, and then assaulting them with chemicals that would damage their brains, and the animals were more resilient. And I got to know Joel Lubar, a guy who was doing groundbreaking work. He became a pretty good friend, along with a number of other people in the field, doing groundbreaking work on EEG neurofeedback in kids and ADHD and education and all this kind of stuff. I wrote several books about this. The problem was that the EEG machines, which I just loved playing with, I owned several of them over the years, these giant $20,000 two-computer contraptions where you put the goop on your head and you have to memorize all the electrode points and where's the sensory motor strip and everything else. It was just a huge hassle and expensive, and you had to have somebody operating the machine. And about 6 months ago, I noticed on Amazon there was this contraption called the Muse, M-U-S-E, and it's like putting a pair of sunglasses on. It's just a little half, a quarter-inch wide strip of band that goes across your forehead with two little things that set on your ears, and it's reading your brain signals, and I have been using it pretty consistently, and this thing has done more for my meditation practice than literally 45 years of regular meditation. Louise and I sit Zazen every weekend at the Zen Center. It's like this thing is amazing, and so I wanted to get one of the inventors of it on the program here to tell us the story of Muse. Ariel Garten is with us. She is one of the founders of Interaction, Interxon, brain sensing technology company. The website is choosemuse.com, and you can tweet her at Ariel_Garten or choosemuse. Ariel, welcome to the program.
Tom, it is such an honor to be here and so amazing to hear about your background with neurofeedback and meditation.
Yeah, I'm sorry to suck up all your time, but I thought that it would, you know, doing that would give a little more credibility to what we're talking about. And you and I have no financial relationship. This is the first time we've ever even talked. This is not an advertising pitch or anything. I'm genuinely insanely excited about this thing. I bought one for one of my kids. I'm part of an international group of people who. Well, I'm just telling everybody I know about it. So,
thank you. This is awesome.
Where did this thing come from?
So this thing is Muse. It's a brain sensing headband that makes meditation easier. It tracks your brain during meditation using EEG, the technology you were describing, and gives you real-time feedback so that you know when you're in focused attention and when your mind is wandering.
And there are five different primary frequencies of brain activity, and one of those is associated with kind of the bliss. I mean, alpha was a big deal in the 70s, right? The bliss state or the meditative state, and there's others, you know, the higher beta frequencies in particular associated with your mind is wandering or you're thinking or you're having anxiety. It seems to me that the big advantage of EEG neurofeedback, it's sort of like learning to ride a bicycle. If you're learning to ride a bicycle, the moment that the wheel starts to wobble, you instantly feel it. That's instant feedback that tells you, and that's why we learn how to ride a bicycle really fast, because we get really rapid feedback. Whereas when I used to sit, just, you know, without the Muse, I would be 3 minutes into a wild thought train before I realized that I hadn't been meditating for 3 minutes. Tell us how that works.
You've totally got it. So when you meditate, your job is to keep your attention focused on a neutral object. Typically, it's your breath. And so you focus on your breath. Your mind begins to wander onto the grocery list, onto what you're doing. It's your job to notice it wanders and then to bring it back to your focused attention on your breath. Most people think meditation is about your mind going blank. It's not. It's about this practice of your mind being focused it wandering, you noticing, and you coming back. With Muse, you get real-time feedback on your brain activity to actually know when you are focused on your breath and to know when your mind has wandered. So the metaphor we use is your mind is like the weather. So when you're thinking, distracted, you actually hear your brain activity as windy as a storm. And as you bring it back to focused attention, it quiets the wind. So you can guide yourself back to that focused attention and keep it there. So if that act of noticing your wandering and bringing it back is kind of like doing a rep at the gym, in standard meditation, sitting on the pillow, which you described, it might be 3 minutes, 5 minutes before you notice. And so in a 10-minute practice, you get maybe 3 reps at the gym. With Muse, you can notice instantly that it wanders and instantly bring it back. So you can get 30 or 50 or 100 reps during your quote-unquote brain gym session, your meditation.
Right. You've got an app for this. It's called Calm, and that I use on my iPhone. And the app connects to the Muse on your that you're wearing on your head with by a Bluetooth. There's no goop or anything like that. You know, no electrodes to hook up. It's very straightforward. And the app generates sounds. Tell us about the sounds that you chose and how those sounds are your feedback loop or system or hook or whatever the word would be.
Sure. So there's 5 different soundscapes that we use to represent your brain. And so when you're doing the Muse meditation, it actually sounds like you're literally listening to your brain. So you can be on the beach listening to the winds and the waves pick up when your mind is stormy, and then the quiet winds and waves just lapping as your mind becomes calm. Or you can be in a rainforest and listen to the trickling of the rain in the rainforest when you're quiet and calm, or the thunderous storms that happen when your brain kicks up into that anxious thought that you had or back onto that grocery list. So we have different soundscapes that really reflect the individual. We also have a city park, an ambient soundscape, because everybody's brain is different, and what it feels like to be inside somebody's mind sounds different to a different person. So it's really a system that customizes to you.
Yeah, and then the little birds.
Yes, and so when you're very quiet, a little bird comes and starts tweeting. So the idea is that when you're focused and you're able to maintain your focus, you get this little reward of birds. Now, you might think that reward is kind of antithetical to meditation. Isn't meditation supposed to be goalless? So the first time you notice this reward, you get super excited, and then the bird flies away, and then you lose your reward. So you're taught to be calm during your reward and to be calm during the loss of reward. So you're able to build all kinds of different skills that meditation practice teaches you using this tool.
It's like the Buddhist idea of non-attachment. You know, don't even be attached to the birds. The other thing that I've noticed,
the reward.
Yeah, the other thing that I've noticed, I write a lot. I have 25 books in print and in 17 languages on 5 continents, and I typically write in the evenings or on weekends. Ariel, hang on just a second. Somehow, somebody just got put on hold, put on the air with us. Okay, we're back. You're still with me, Ariel, right?
I'm here.
Okay, great. One of my challenges when writing has always been maintaining focus. And, you know, I write about a variety of things, including attention deficit disorder, which I think I'm the poster child for. And so I would sit down to write, and I'd be, you know, into my third paragraph, and suddenly I'd think, gee, I should go to the kitchen and get a snack, or, you know, I need to refill my tea, or whatever. And then I go down to the kitchen, and then, hey, there's something on TV. And 20 minutes later, I'm like, wait a minute, you know, and I get back to my writing, sort of like my meditation. What I've noticed in the last 6 months that I've been using this Muse device is that there's the little process in my brain when I hear the birds or when I hear the storm of just go back to your meditation. Just go back. Yep. Just go back. I'm reminding myself. I don't even say it out loud to myself anymore, but it's just like, just go back to it. Just go back to it. And what I'm finding now in my writing, and Louise was just amazed this last weekend, Saturday, I wrote for like 8 hours straight and got knocked out 3 chapters for a re-release of a book that's coming out this fall. And I just, this has moved from my meditation practice into my daily work. And I'm wondering, is that a common experience?
You're completely describing something that we hear all the time and something that I've experienced myself. So with Muse, what you're doing is you're training yourself to avoid the distraction. So your mind wanders, you notice it wanders, you bring it back. You do this while you're training with Muse, but then this starts to bleed into your daily life, which is really the goal, to learn how to meditate every time, everywhere. So I often hear from people that they'll be writing. In the past, when their mind would wander, they'd actually follow that wandering and go to the kitchen or to the cup of tea, and now they can just tell themselves, nope, it's okay. I know the skill of bringing it back, bringing it back, bringing it back. And what you're doing is you're both dealing with the distraction and you're dealing with the subtle anxiety that comes from something that's hard. So when you're writing, typically that need to escape comes when you're sort of come across a little roadblock or like, I don't know what to do next. And so there's a slight sense of discomfort. And what you learn with meditation, with muse, is that you can manage that discomfort and say, I don't care, it's okay, I don't need to follow it, I can just stick with what I'm doing. So I've heard it in writing, I've heard it in phone addictions. So, you know, you get that sensation of like, oh, I should check my phone now. And before you know it, you've done that like 5 times in 20 minutes, and you keep jumping to your phone. After using muse for a while, people tell me that they no longer actually follow that desire to pick up their phone. Initially, you might have the sensation, but then you realize, nope, I have the choice to stay in the present moment, and you keep doing it. I have to tell you a lovely story of a woman I heard. She was using muse for about 2 weeks, and she was in the park with her kid. Her child is 2 years old. And she told me that every time previous she'd been in the park with her child, her mind had been wandering, and she'd been totally not present. She'd be there while he's playing and think about the grocery list and what to make for dinner and what she has to do next. And it wasn't until actually starting a meditation practice that she could recognize that she wasn't actually present, that she was just in her thoughts. And now she could recognize she was in her thoughts and actually take the action to focus on her child and be in what should be the happiest moment of her life.
Wow. That's a powerful story. We're going to hit a break here in about 10 seconds. Do you have competitors?
So there are other devices on the market that help you meditate, like Spire, which tracks your breath, for example. Mm-hmm. So there are other devices that look at different parts of your physiology during meditation. There are one or two other that have been around with EEG, but muse is definitely the thing that people are using.
I know you all invented this sometime back. You crowdsourced it, brought it to the public in 2014, I believe. And And the website is choosemuse, choosemuse.com. Ariel Garten, the co-founder of this. Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you. It's been a total pleasure.
Great talking with you. We'll be back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.